Good afternoon, and welcome to the Right to Know Advisory Committee meeting for Thursday, November 17th, 2022. My name is Tom Harnett, and I chair the Right to Know Advisory Committee. We are going to begin today with two presentations of reports from the Maine Municipal Association and Public Access Ombudsman Brenda Kelty on the experience of municipalities and state agencies following changes to the Freedom of Access Act, which now requires two free hours of staff time to requesters of public records and change the hourly rate after that. The next person who will speak on this issue is participating remotely, and that is Brenda Kelty, who is the Public Access Ombudsman who works in the Office of the Attorney General. And Brenda, I'm thinking you might be having the same internet issues, which is why you're not using your camera. Am I right?
That's true. And I apologize in advance. I tend to get bumped off when I put my camera on. So I'm leaving my camera off, and I'm really looking forward to coming in person, perhaps to the next meeting, because I would like to see everyone. But thank you for having me. My task on this issue was to collect data from the 14 executive branch state agencies about the number of FOIA requests that have been completed in 2 hours or less. And that reporting period was from January 1st to September 30th of this year. We do collect data, annual data from these same agencies related to their FOIA responses during the course of the year. But this data point is new. We've never collected this. So I have no comparison, to see if, what was this like last year? We don't know. So we're looking at some novel information. And I asked also to have their total FOIA requests received so that we could see what the percentages were that were completed in 2 hours or less. And I do have a few gaps in this information, unfortunately, but I've totaled up what I have so far. And you can see, for instance, for the Department of Agriculture, Conservation, and Forestry, that their count of total FOIA requests received so far up until September 30th was 76. And 58 of those were completed in 2 hours or less. So, there's a 76.31% completion rate within 2 hours, which means there's no charge on that. There's no bill, and the requester is not paying for that. If you go down through the list, you can see that we have some relatively high percentages for the Department of Defense Veterans and Emergency Management. Their 2 hours or less is at 81.81%. Economic and Community Development is at 70% for those 2 hours or less. Education, out of their 110, 64 were completed in 2 hours or less. So that's a 58.18% completion rate. Health and Human Services, their total so far was 224, and the completion rate was 57. So they have a smaller percentage of completions. And I did get some comment from DHHS relating to possible reasons for this, which include complex and broad interdepartmental requests with a high amount of time spent in reviewing for confidentiality. So that was one of the reasons that they said supported that number. For inland fisheries, again, a very high percentage within 2 hours. Theirs is 87.5%. I did not get complete numbers from labor or marine resources. But again, as we continue down the list, for professional financial regulation, their 2 hour or less completion rate is 83.82%. Public safety, and I'm just going to note with public safety, there's been a change in the public access officer there and some gap of time in 2022 where they're not entirely sure that they have a full count here for me. So we're just taking the numbers that they were 100% sure about. And even those numbers, again, even though they may be incomplete, are reflecting a fairly high 72.34% completion rate under 2 hours. And then finally, for transportation, their number is 58.33%. So, and there you can see the totals. And I think I just want to be sure that we're keeping in mind that the requests that we're counting here are only FOA requests. And FOA itself is a very, very small segment of the total requests for information that are made to government agencies, because we know our government is a storehouse of information and they are in the business of providing information. It's a core function. And most of that conveyance of information occurs outside of the FOA context and the FOA protocols. So this is really a small segment. These are only the requests that are categorized by the agency as FOAs. And the out of those total numbers, the 53.27% represents the number of those FOA requests that are completed with no charge under 2 hours. And then one other point that I thought was very interesting in some of the comments that I got from agencies. Now, we know that they could, if it goes to 2 hours, there's not going to be any charge. There's no fee, but the agency could begin to charge from 2 hours and 1 minute on. And I noted from several agencies that they actually, if it's under 3 hours, they're probably not going to charge because they don't want to give a bill for half an hour. So I did think that there was a little bit of this sort of spillover into the third hour where it's possible that agencies are not going to charge for that either, because it's, you know, you have to go through a whole billing process and it just doesn't seem worth it. I don't have data on that, but I did see that comment in several places and it sort of made sense to me that there would be a bit of a spillover of a no bill sort of situation that went beyond 2 hours. And I'm happy to take any questions or discuss any aspect of that with you.
Thank you very much, Brenda. Are there questions for Brenda Kelty from members of the committee? I will start with Chief Gehagan. You're muted, Chief.
Thank you, Chairman. The only question I have, the Maine Criminal Justice Academy, would that come under public safety?
I don't get a breakdown of the departments within public safety, so I'm not 100% sure about that. I don't know, Chief. I could find out for you. I will ask that question.
That would be good to know. What's being told to us by the director is they have over 1,000 requests a year.
Wow. And are they FOIA requests or requests for information?
FOIA request.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll ask about that.
Yeah, again, that's what's being told to us. So.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chief. Julie Finn?
Yeah, the comment you just made, Brenda, leads me to ask, what is the difference between what you categorize as a FOIA request and just a non-FOIA request for information? Does the requester have to cite FOIA, or is there some other way that you tell the difference?
Right. And that's an excellent question, Julie, because really the first step that an agency needs to take is to determine, is this a FOIA and is it going to go down the FOIA track, which means all of the statutory requirements for compliance have been triggered. Acknowledgement, estimate, all of these things come into place. Or is this simply a request for information that we're going to put down our communication track and deal with? Just, you know, it's not, FOA is not triggered at all. And as you know, the statute is written in a way to make it easy to make a FOA request, right? So it's low barrier, if you will. It doesn't, the request doesn't have to have any magic words. It doesn't have to cite the statute. You don't have to fill out a particular form. It can be verbal. It could be, you know, electronic. You can, you know, it's very wide open. And and the interest that's being promoted there is this low barrier. We want citizens, we want the public to be able to get access, and we don't want them to have to jump through a lot of hoops in order to do that. The disadvantage is that sometimes an agency doesn't know, is it a FOA request or is it not? You know, how do we deal with this? And so there can be, you know, certainly if a requester is saying, I'm asking for these records pursuant to law, even if they said it's a FOIA rather than a FOA, right? Or, you know, my right to ask for these records, you know, it'd be reasonable for an agency to interpret that as a FOA request and put it down the FOA track, which means they're going to be acknowledging it in writing right away and that all the statutory requirements will be triggered. It's a little bit trickier when it's really not clear. And that's going to depend on the circumstances. So, and an agency can decide, we're going to put this down the FOA track. Maybe they know it's got confidential information and they want to have the formalities of the, you know, having a written denial, for instance, and providing things on a timeline to protect the interests of both the agency and the requester. Provides clarity. It provides a written documentation record of what's transpired. So sometimes an agency can say this should go down the FOA track, but it's really going to depend on the circumstances.
Thank you, Brenda. Anything else, Julie?
No, that was great. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there additional questions from committee members for Brenda Kelty? I am not seeing any. Brenda, thank you. I'm sorry. Oh, Eric, you're right in front of me. I don't know how I miss you, and your hand's always up. Go ahead, Eric. Thank you.
So on the question of the Maine Criminal Justice Academy, it's listed as one of the 9 bureaus under the Department of Public Safety on their website. So we go to maine.gov/DPS/bureaus. It's listed as an entity under the Department of Public Safety. But I raised my hand because I have worked with some agencies that, even though they're aware they can charge above 2 hours, they choose not to invoke that option. You know, sometimes they know it's 5 or 10 hours and they just do it as a public service. I also wanted to comment on the low percentages. Brenda made the point of that HHS is particularly, lower percent of under 2 hours. And I know from my experience helping on dozens of folks over there that many times they have to have their internal attorneys and others do extensive redactions of what would be personally identifiable information or protected health information. So, and similarly with education, not as much as HHS, but those percentages look right to me because I have experience of them needing to spend many hours making sure that PII is not released. So that would drive for those agencies that are in that business.
Thank you for that. And so getting the records is not necessarily the challenge. It's making sure that no personally identifiable information is going out inappropriately. Thank you for that. Kevin Martin.
Thank you, Brenda. Appreciate your feedback. I apologize. I'm one of the gaps on there. I do have a question regarding this wasn't asked of us, but do you have a sense of how many of these agencies treat information, what we'd call information requests, as a FOIA request, and how much those numbers factor in? Because I think it's different for every agency. I know ours in particular, we have an entire file room, we have DocuWare services, so that a lot of these single document type information requests are readily accessible. They don't require FOIAs, but we do get them that people email for those documents and cite FOIA, and we'll call it a FOIA request. I just didn't know if you, if certain agencies are more prone to call kind of simpler requests FOIA requests, and you know which ones. I guess I'm trying to get to
right
any sense you might have that, that some of those numbers are skewed.
I only heard from one agency in this data collection that if it's under 2 hours, they don't consider it a FOIA. No one told me that anything that takes less than 2 hours is a FOIA. I think that's what you're asking me, Kevin.
I think so. I guess it's almost more along your, you know, the discussion of information requests versus FOIA requests. And I think if I'm understanding you, everything that was reported in those documents was called a FOIA request by the agency. I guess I'm just trying to get a sense of whether agencies call these information requests FOIA requests, and they're including those simpler requests in the numbers, in which case those numbers would be, you know, were dramatically higher than they would be. It might be 90% would be handled within 2 hours, where they might be more simpler requests that some agencies wouldn't consider a FOIA request, you know, compare that to us or DHHS, well, or education, where a lot of them are labeled FOIA requests when they're more complicated, as opposed to easier requests are not called FOIAs.
Right. Well, I think the the question is going to be, are you complying with the statutory requirements? Is the agency giving a written acknowledgement within 5 working days? Are they providing an estimate within a reasonable amount of time? If you're doing that, it's a FOIA request, whether or not it takes 2 hours or less to complete it. So I think we've tried very hard, and of course it could be leaks, you know, and some things may not fall into the right category entirely, but we're really, in the data that I collect, I want to know of the requests that go down the FOIA track. So there would have to be an acknowledgement there, you know, this would be, even if it only took 2 hours, you'd be considering this a completed FOIA. And, you know, I don't know, like I said, only one agency told me that they are not counting most of the less than 2 hours as FOIAs.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you.
I have a question on that.
I'm sorry, I could not hear that, Kevin.
That's all I had for questions on that. I just think there's, I think the data is helpful. I think it's just limited in terms of its usefulness, some ways, in terms of what it represents in different, might be different for different agencies. So it's hard to tell.
Thank you. Are there additional questions for Brenda Kelty from committee members? I am not seeing any. Brenda, thank you again very much for the information you provided. And we look forward to seeing you in person at our next and final meeting in December.
Thank you.